I hope and pray our heart's desire is to glorify our Lord. Amen. And to help one another to serve him like we should. I hope that's our desire, heart's desire. It is my heart's desire this morning. If you will, turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. If you would like to, you can stand with me if you're able. If you don't feel like it, don't do it. But if you would like to, you can stand with me in the reading of God's word. I won't keep you up long. I'm just going to read one verse and pray. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Daddy, we come to you this morning begging for mercy and for grace. Forgive us our trespasses, Lord, that we might be here this morning and worship in spirit and in truth. We come putting ourselves under authority of this local assembly to be helped, and we pray to help. And as always, Lord, I pray that you strike me dumb or strike me dead, but don't let me say anything contrary to your precious and holy word. We love you. We praise you. We give you all honor and glory. In Christ's name, we pray. Be seated, please. The spirit of Antichrist. Now, that's not all I want to talk about this morning, but I want to say this. If the spirit of Antichrist was already in the time that John was writing this, and he is looking at it as the last time, the last of time, then approximately 2,000 years later, we're that much closer to the last time, to the return of our Lord. But if we look around and we see, and we're honest with ourselves, we see the spirit of Antichrist all over this world. But that's not what I want to talk to you about this morning. Well, that's not what on my heart from the Lord this morning. My heart is the spirit of Antichrist that has crept into our churches. Now, Pastor done turned me loose this morning, so if you're going to get mad at him, not me, okay? He ought to know better. Should have known better. No, seriously, folks, it's time for us to face the truth. People in our churches have grown so accustomed to not putting God first, not denying self, not turning away from the things of the world and turning to God until it's become the normal in most churches. Now, I don't know about your individual churches. I'm not part of your local assembly. I know that and I understand that. But the ones that I have been involved with, even our own church at home, we're not without it. There's a fight going on. And Satan is battling us even in the church house. When people take their eyes off Christ, the body of Christ suffers. And we need to get our eyes back on Jesus Christ and the blood and serve the Father, the Holy Father God, as he has commanded us in Scripture. Now you say, you're preaching to the choir. The choir needs preaching too. Listen, the gospel was not lost in the pew. It was lost in the pulpit. Preachers scared to tell the truth because they thought they'd get run off. And I can testify, you will. Help me, Lord. I'm hollering at folks already early this morning. Help me, Holy Ghost. And listen, the next verse breaks my heart. Verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Yeah. There you go. Folks, We have people and have had people. And I mentioned this down at Brother Nathan. I'm not re-preaching what I preached there. But it's so evident in my mind, the Holy Spirit is on me so hard about the folks that left the church during the COVID and they ain't coming back. The Holy Ghost of God may have sent that stuff on us to divide the sheep from the goats. Now, if you got underlying conditions and you are scared for your life, I understand that. But I'm talking about young, healthy folks that ought to be in the church working that have turned and said, oh, it's a good excuse for me not to go to church. They got used to it. Some of them sitting on the couch in their robe and watching it on the phone, and then most of them put it down and go on in the kitchen and fix breakfast while it's playing, so it just show up on somebody else's phone that they're watching it. And when it got time to come back to church, they didn't want to get up and ready and go. It's too much of a trouble, and they ain't come back. And I've heard this from pastors all over this country who told me the same thing. Why did they not come back? I'm afraid they were not of us. If the love of Christ is in your heart, you want to assemble with God's people somewhere. You are supposed to be a fit piece to be fit into the body of Christ in some local assembly. I wonder if we as preachers just decided to stay at the house, how they take that. Some of them would be happy, bro. You know why? They ain't interested in the Word of God. I know that's hard, but listen, somewhere along the line, we got to stop pacifying people and get back to preaching the truth of the Word of God to folk and say, listen, if you love God, you love God's people, you want to be a part of a church, and you want to be like Christ. It's that simple. Whew. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would. Now listen, I'm not telling you my opinion. I'm reading to you out of the Word of God. Do you believe the Word of God is true?
Yes.
I didn't get the reaction. Do you believe the Word of God is true?
Yes.
Well, read it with me and you make your own judgment. I'm on side with God. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Now listen, we do have some young, tender Christians that we have to tend to.
Yes.
You have to. And I think the church has failed a lot of them. I'm going to be honest with you and say that I have failed some of them. Why? I have not nourished them like I should. I have not put the attention into them like I should. If we're not careful, we'll get people who are really studying their Bible already mature, and boy, we want to get with them. And if you don't look around, you look around, you are not tending to those who are young and tender and immature. And I understand that. And people have been church hurt. I've been church hurt. That's the worst hurt in the world. But listen, folks, through all of that, I can testify for my own life, and I do regularly. You know why I do it? I want people to know that, listen, it's a struggle. It's a fight. You got to be willing to put your all into it. But listen, God, if you're a true Christian, God won't let you lay down and quit. I tried. Silotex in that ceiling, and I probably counted them 320,000 times. And when I just give up and said, Yes, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you say, wherever you send me, whatever you want me to do, yes, the answer is yes. I don't care what it is. You hadn't told me right this minute for the next step, but the answer, Lord, is yes. And it immediately he put me back to work in his kingdom. Now look, folks, that's why I know if you are truly saved, if you have the Holy Ghost, the Almighty God in your heart, you gonna assemble with God's people somewhere, regardless of how bad you've been hurt. If you don't, the Word of God says, you're not up, you're not saved. Let's just put it plain. The Lord Jesus Christ is not your Savior. The blood has not been applied to your life. That's hard. It's hard to tell the truth. It is. Let's don't lie about that. It's easier to try to get along with folks and go along with folks for a while. But you're both going to wind up in a ditch sooner or later if you keep on doing that. Somewhere along the line, somebody got to stand up and say, this is the truth of the Word of God. We cannot deviate from it. We got to get back to it. We got to start running our churches by the Word of God. We got to start telling people about the Word of God. We got to start preaching the gospel by the Word of God, not by this coddling and wooing and trying to bait folks in. That don't work. The gospel is a net, not a baited hook. You can't bait folks in. Now listen, you need to tell them about Jesus. It's fine to tell them what wonderful things he's done for us. That's a great testimony. That's one of the best ways to spread the gospel. Look, I was lost. I was headed to hell. I was sorry. I was no good. And I was worse than a lot of other folks. I was the chiefest of sinners. But God saved me. And listen, you know why we don't want to tell folks that? Because the rest of that statement should be, look at me now. And we don't want folks looking at us because we got sin in our life. You say you ain't got sin, you a liar. I'm talking about the Word of God now. I was going to turn there, but for time's sake, I'm not. But listen, you know it. You've read it. Most of you have read it and studied it. And the Word of God tells us that every one of us got sin in our life. Oh, but we have a Savior that we can go. Listen, I've heard some people pray acting like they were repenting, both be repenting, and their prayer was, oh, Lord, I messed up. Forgive me. And they go on. When the Holy Spirit of God convicts me of my sin, all I can do is want to cry. Get down on my face before God and beg him for mercy. It embarrasses me. It makes me ashamed of myself. And I'm afraid, I'm scared for folks that it don't make them ashamed when they sin. If you can sin and only repent if you get caught, there's something wrong with that, folks. That ain't the Holy Ghost in there. You just mad because you got caught. And the easiest way out is to admit to it and try to get over it so folks can get off of you about it. That's not repenting. Yes, sir, it is. Worldly repentance, that's right. And that worldly repentance has got over into the church, and we have accepted it. We have accepted it. It's our fault. Well, I don't want to hurt so-and-so's feelings. Let me tell you something. God ain't got no problem hurting my feelings when I mess up. Hey, he's whooped me in ways way worse than any beating could be. And listen, what's so sad is, if it's a true Christian, like I am before God, my Holy Spirit dwells in me. I'm going to tell you something, though. I got scars and from the consequences of those sins that I have begged God to take away from me, and he don't do it. I believe he's told me you're going to die with them. Why? Keep me humble before him and remind me of how I messed up. It's there. It's not gone. It's not going to go anywhere. And listen, every time, every waking, and sometimes even when I'm asleep, It's right there. It ain't went nowhere. When I get righteously indignant about somebody else, boom, it's right there in my face. Boy, you remember what you was, how you thought what you done? Lord, I remember it. I hope nobody else does. There's things that I did that if you don't know, I won't never tell you. They'll go to my grave with me because I am ashamed of them. That's what I did. That's a lot of what I did before I was saved. But you know what embarrasses me and hurts me worse than anything else? The things I've done after God saved me by his wonderful grace and was so good to me. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Almighty. Oh, Lord, help me. God Almighty.
Well,
and if that is not in our people's heart, there's something wrong with that salvation, folks. And you say, well, now, that's a gloom and doom. No, it's not. Let's keep on reading. Verse 19, but they went out that they might be made manifest. What does that mean? They went out and they ain't come back to let us know that they ain't of us, that they're not saved. Now, the only thing we are responsible to them is to tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they don't want to believe that, then they can stay at home. That's it. That's our only message to a lost person. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Now, if they want to come and sit in our services, that's fine. But not up on the pulpit singing, not teaching no class, not nothing else. They need the gospel. I don't care if they play beautiful, as more beautiful than anybody else. If they ain't saved, they ain't got no business playing in the church.
Right. Absolutely.
Our preaching.
Amen.
We got to tell the truth about us, not just others. If I compromise the gospel, I pray, Almighty God, I do every time before I stand, he strike me dumb or strike me dead. But if he does not, I hope there's somebody that loves God enough to come and get me out of that pulpit and tell me you ain't got no business preaching. It's that serious. This is a sacred, holy place. And we better get back to respecting it, Lord, for what it is. Let me go on for time's sake. That they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, that Holy Ghost of God in us. And ye know all things. That means you know everything about the Bible. No. It means God gives us discernment to when we realize that folks never were of us, that we don't allow them to have positions in the church and we don't allow them to continue in the fellowship and accept them like they're a good member of the church. That's what it's talking about. It gives you some sense. Use it. I have not written unto you because you do not know the truth. We know the truth. We just need to get to doing the truth. But because ye know it, that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? What's he talking about when he's talking about lying? Who is a liar? But he that denies Jesus is the Christ. You say, oh, I've heard people, oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. And I believe they meant that mentally, they do believe there's a God. They do believe that there was a Jesus. Mentally. Intellectually. Maybe I can get the word out there. Yeah. Yes, I do, brother. Possibly therapy, I'm not sure. But listen, a lot of folks think I need it anyhow. I tell you that when they hear me preach. Whew, I could get off when I ain't going to. But who's a liar? Intellectually saying that there's a God, that there's a Jesus, there's a Bible that's true, there's a way we're supposed to live. But the conversation of their life is opposite of that. That's a liar and has denied Jesus Christ. I don't care if it's me or somebody else. If the now I'm not talking about people messing up. Lord knows I've messed up. Oh my goodness. And thank God he is merciful and his blood covered my sin. And he allowed me back in his, why would he even let me? in the first place? Why did he save me in the first place? I ain't figured that out yet. But then when I mess up, why did he let me back? He loved me. I'm a son of his. I'm an heir and co-heir with Jesus Christ. Saved by the blood. And I don't care if what I've heard about John MacArthur is true. I don't never want to hear nothing else he got to say. He said the blood is not important. Baloney. That's a strong word I'm going to use. Baloney. Not even good Oscar Mayer, that old cheap stuff, off brand. Listen, the blood is important. It's the only thing can wash away my filthy sin.
Amen. Yes.
And I'm not on him for that. I've heard people quoting me. I've heard some good things. I've seen some writings he's had, and I appreciate the stand he took out there in California by not closing the church. I understand that. That's good. I'm not taking anything away from him. But if he don't believe that the blood's important, I don't want to hear nothing else he got to say preaching wise.
Right.
I don't. And if you don't believe it, I don't want to hear your preaching.
Nah,
I'm being serious. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just telling you, there's people that I know that I ain't sitting. If they got up to preach, I would respectfully excuse myself and try not to make a scene and leave. I ain't going to sit on it. I have too, bro. Yeah, just, I'm gone. Yeah, listen, why? Without the blood, there is no salvation. Without the death, there's no salvation. Without the resurrection, there's no salvation. Without the Holy Ghost of God coming and quickening your dead self, there's no salvation. And if you take any part of that out of there, you don't have salvation, not of Jesus Christ. And I ain't going to listen at you. Now, if we disagree on some eschatology or something like that, in there, yeah, okay. You know why it's okay? I don't know, and you don't either.
Right. That's it. Amen.
Now, the brother preached about revelation, and I agree 1,000%. I've always said that. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not John's revelation.
Right.
He just penned what the Lord, the Holy Ghost, told him to write about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes, and if your eschatology don't point to Jesus Christ, it is baloney too. It's about Jesus. But if we disagree on this, that, and the other, and I'm not even going to get into all the isms about it, because I don't care nothing about them. If we disagree about that, that's fine. Okay. I'm going to walk away and say, you don't know more than I do.
Right.
I mean, leave it at that. What I do know is most people and some preachers ain't even figured out how to obey the Ten Commandments yet, much less what's going to happen. You say, oh, I do. I follow the Ten Commandments. Hmm. What about the first one? Have you got past it yet? Huh? Don't lie in church. Come on. Now, there are times that my Holy Father is everything I got is toward him. But I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes there's some flash or something of the world will come and catch my eye. And if I ain't careful, I'll take my eye off of God. And I'm looking off over him. And I have to come back and repent and get back to where I'm supposed to be. I ain't mastered the first one. You say, well, you ought not be preaching. You ain't neither. So who's going to preach?
Amen.
If he's truly got the blood of Jesus applied to his life and the call of God on his life to preach, then he's going to know that he has to continually put himself back in line with the Holy Father and try to get that first one right. So why am I going to fall out with you about something that's going to happen that no man knows the time? Nobody knows all about that. No. Nobody knows all about any of this. Not all. We will one day. We'll know as we're known. I look forward to that day. I really want to know how much I was wrong about. I really do. I want to know truth. If you can take the word of God and prove me wrong on something, I will change my mind. Listen, if a man is not teachable, he ought not be teaching. If you think you're too good for, listen, sometimes my little old 16-year-old, about 14 when he shocked a whole bunch, grandson, we were in this deep, deep, deep Bible study. We run up on a stump. We was all saying different things, you know, well, it might be this, might be that. And my little, he's like his daddy. He's real reserved. But he just sat there until everybody got through. All the preachers, all the scholars we got there, got through. Raised a little hand. And he expounded that and told the truth more than any preacher I ever heard in my life. And the whole bunch of us just sat there with our, the Holy Ghost verified it with every one of us that he was telling right. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not ashamed to say that I learned from my grandson the truth of a verse. Amen. If you're too proud to do that, don't get up and preach. Sit out there and learn how to learn.
Right.
Listen, ain't none of us know it all. Some know more than others. I thank God. For scholars, I want to learn. Teach me. I want to know everything I can about this precious word. I want to carry it out and tell others about it. I'm not ashamed to say that Brother so-and-so preached this, and y'all need to know it. Here, let me tell you what the Bible says. He told me, I want to tell y'all. You too proud to do that? Stay in the pew and out the pulpit. You said, well, why are you so hard on preachers? Somebody got to be. Somewhere along the line, we got to stand. We're going to stand accountable. We are standing accountable. Whether we face it or not, whether we own up to it or not, we're going to give account to Almighty God. The best thing we better do is get on our knees today and give that account and try to get it right. It wasn't lost in the pew, folks. It was lost in the pulpit. Not my time's drawing close, so I'm gonna try to go on. Verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Eternal. Lord have mercy. How hard is it to understand eternal? You know, we don't understand eternity because we're creatures of time. I know that. But how hard is it to understand that when God does something, man can't undo it? How hard is it to understand that? It's hard to believe, yes. It is.
You're right.
It is hard to believe. You know what? There have been times in my life that the only way I knew I was saved was because of God's conviction of the sin in my life. I didn't feel like I was saved. I didn't feel like I belonged to God. But it didn't matter what I felt like. And listen, feelings will get you in trouble anyhow. We live by the faith of Jesus Christ. The gift of the faith of Jesus Christ. My faith is not generated by Dean Brown. My faith is generated by the Holy Ghost, the Almighty God, that God put in me, the Spirit of God that was given back to me, that died, that did not fall in the garden, that died in the garden. Go back and read your Bible. There ain't no fall. If you fail, you can get up. In the day that you eat up, you shall surely die. You ever read that back over in Genesis? Did God lie? Come on. Quit talking about a fall. You're talking about falling. You can get up or somebody can come along and help you up. You didn't fall. All men died in Adam. And if you know the Lord, it's because he come and put that life in you. Regenerated you and you realize that I'm a sinner bound for hell.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Lord, help me. Now listen, I might understand that a little better than some folks. You say, well, you think you're smarter folks. No, I'm talking about my conversion. I was not interested in God at all. Matter of fact, the only reason I was at church that night, and it wasn't nothing but it was a sweetheart banquet. A sweetheart banquet of all things. I don't even like sweetheart banquets.
Like sweetheart.
But I did have a sweetheart. And she wanted me to go to that banquet. We was already married. And I went to that, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, Lord, they're going to serve that ham, green beans, and them apples that they've done something to that they're nasty. I don't know, the little red-looking apple. And that's what everybody served back in. If you went to a church gathering, that's what you were going to eat when you got there. And I said, I don't like it, man. No, honey, how long is this going to be? I'll be glad when this is over with, that I can get back to sinning like I wanted to do. I'm just being honest with you. That's what I wanted to do. Had been the night before and had big plans that night. As soon as I satisfied my wife, took her home, boom, I was going to be gone. That's how sorry I was. But yet, I was still sitting there thinking about how long, I hope this thing don't go on all night. And from that to the next instant, the Holy Ghost of God struck my heart. Ain't nobody said nothing about the gospel. Ain't nobody about it. Said it. And I jumped up in the middle of it and said, somebody got to help me. I don't know what's going on, but I need help. God saved my soul. Now listen, folks. He might have did that so I'd be able to stand and preach and tell folks how God operates. I don't know. Now I had heard the gospel all my life. If you lived in Gladys Brown's house, you went to church. Man, I remember when I was so proud I first earned a little bit of money. I wasn't that tall. First thing that she done, got that money and said, when you pay your tithes, I'll give it back to you. My mama done that. And every dollar I ever drew, I had to pay my tithe. I knew about God. I knew about the Bible. And I had heard about Jesus all my life. Matter of fact, I walked the aisle 3 times and got dunked 3 times. Lost as a goat. I went in a dry sinner and come out a wet sinner. Didn't save me nigh a bit. But when the Holy Ghost of God struck my heart, tore out that old stony heart and gave me a heart of flesh that I could hear and understand the word of God, he saved me. I wasn't fallen. I was dead in my trespasses and sin. And God gave me the life, the Holy Spirit of God in me. Listen, folks, that's the gospel. Now, it comes in many forms. Everybody's experience is different. Some folks got saved when they were young. Thank God they missed. I mean, you didn't go through, and you ain't having to pay for some of the things that I did. Thank God for that. You ought to, you know, we look at people out there so evil and they so bad, and God said, oh, what a trophy of grace. Not a trophy of grace, and when God has mercy on you as a young child and you don't have to live your life with the consequences of a life of sin, boy, he saves you. That's a trophy of grace. It all is, of course. But what a blessing when a child is saved and they can live their whole life and be alive to Almighty God. Woo! Now, folks, I got to go on. My time is all. Oh, it is up. Oh. I want to read just a few more verses and I'll close. Chapter 3, verse 1. Listen, this ain't no doom and gloom. This is hope and glory. Listen to it. Behold, what manner of love the Father. I got to stop right here real quick and just put in a plug for this. Listen, our glory, the fact that what we do should be for the glory of the Father. Thankful to Jesus Christ. But listen, Jesus did what the Father said. The Father told Jesus what to do. Who is the authority here? The Father. I know we sing about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus did what he did for us. Absolutely. But listen, Holy Father, don't go away from yourself. Oh, brother, he's leaning over there. You know, them old, you know, them folks come around passing out them tracks all the time and come up there and take, get you to look at the watchtower thing. No, it ain't what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the Holy Trinity, but the Father is the authority. Jesus did what the Father wanted. He's the one that should get the glory. Jesus did what he did for the glory of the Father. Somewhere along the line, that Jesus only stuff is a lie from hell. That ain't true. God the Father should get the glory. Listen, let me go on. I can't preach that one today. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Listen, if you're worried about what the world thinks of you, you got a problem. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And listen to this now. I want you to notice that if you believe the word of God and you believe it's true, listen to this. And every, not some, there's a difference in every and some. Y'all agree with that? And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You know what that tells me? Every day of my life, I got to repent and try better. I got to try harder. Every day of my life. You know why? Because I'm not as pure as he is. And I won't be, I understand, I got this old body of flesh, and it won't be redeemed. It's going back to the dust it was made out of. I understand that. But it's a struggle. Because we still got that. And we still got that old filthy mind of ours. That brain is something, that's the biggest battle we got, our own brain. And so I have to repent daily and purify myself. Lord, please take this away from me. Forgive me, Lord. Help me, Lord, tomorrow that I don't think about that even, that I don't do the things I do. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And if that's not your prayer, I'm afraid for you. Every man that has this hope purifies himself. And if we ain't doing that, folk, we need to make our calling and election sure. Each one of us. Brother Darrell.